Azanya Mosaka on 702.
It's now 15 minutes to 2 o'clock. And at the start of the show, I played you a little bit of audio of some of the exchanges I had with renowned conductor and director of the Joburg International Mozart Festival, Richard Kok, leading up to conduct the orchestra, an initiative that's been put together by Business and Arts South Africa, BASA. So joining us now, we've got Richard Kok himself. He's on the line because he just had such important meetings. And he's on the line to us today. And in studio with me, I have Nomfundo Makaya, who is head of human capital at R&B. And we also have Michelle Green. Michelle is with SA Airlink. And she was fully kitted, in fact. She had the reflector jacket and one of those buttons that indicate to aircrafts where to park and, you know, where to taxi on the tarmac at the airport. So good afternoon, everybody.
Hi, Azanya.
Hello, Michelle. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Azanya.
Hi, Nomfundo. So everybody is here. But Richard, what an experience you put us through. So in essence, for anyone who hasn't heard of this initiative, you explained it really well in our previous conversation and I played that clip. But what is it that you seek to achieve by bringing in people like us to conduct an orchestra?
I think what we're trying to do is to give people a slightly different aspect of leadership, because when you're leading a company as CEO or you're running the human resources, let's say, you're interacting with people verbally most of the time. Now, when you stand in front of an orchestra conducting, you're not talking, but you're giving instructions by a different means. But you're still working with a big team of experts, let's say 40 people we had in the orchestra, and you are giving them visual instructions, which they then have to follow. And I think it's a very different feeling. There's a sort of two-way exchange of energy, which is really important. And I think we all felt that on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Nomfundo, Richard talks about it being a different feeling. How would you describe it?
It's very different. In the workplace, you know, you often are doing things that you know, you're skilled at. You've learned, you know, you're qualified to do what I do, for instance, looking after human capital. And for the first time, I had to go into a space where I had no idea what this was about. I got some coaching from Richard, which was very, very helpful. But you actually don't know what to expect until you stand on that stage. And it's hugely challenging because you come into a room full of experts. And you have to show up and be vulnerable about what you know and what you don't know. And however, it really is converted into magic if you work with a team that supports you and uplifts you. And at the end of it, it was just such a beautiful and an unforgettable experience for me.
Yes, I think vulnerability is such a key word. And it's an important word that I think gets neglected when we think of leadership, when we think of a leadership style that one employs in the workplace. Brené Brown has done great work when it comes to vulnerability and the value of making yourself vulnerable. But there was humility in saying, I'm going to trust the process. So, Michelle, I want your view of the experience because you chose a very difficult piece, The Ride of the Valkyries. Now, Richard, maybe you can give us a sense of your interactions with Michelle and this choice of song, and then we'll unpack how her experience went.
Yeah, well, I was, first of all, I was shocked when she said she wanted to do The Ride of the Valkyries because this is, first of all, for a big orchestra. And it's a busy piece. And, you know, it goes through a whole lot of changes and turmoil. And it's all about these creatures that ride horses through the sky. And it's quite a stormy piece. And in fact, it flummoxed her at one stage because she thought it came to the climax. And she thought, oh, well, that's the end. But actually, it wasn't the end. And it was a real challenge. Not only for the orchestra to play, but also for her to conduct. So I think talking of vulnerability, she chose a piece, you know, which exposed perhaps those vulnerabilities even more. But she attacked it with such vigor and confidence that she almost got through it.
Michelle, what was the lesson for you in that moment? Because we sat there and we're like, oh, she says it's over. No, it's not over. And then it's over. No, it's not over. And it's over. You took us for quite a ride.
Yeah, no, I definitely did. I remember when I first chose it, and Richard said, this is a very ambitious piece. And I thought, you know, it reminded me of, I was flying in from Mthatha and on Air Link, of course, and there was this huge storm, and the song just reminded me of that. So I thought, this is definitely what I'm going to go for. And then when I was in front of the audience, I was definitely very nervous. And as Richard says, you know, there was that point where I thought, I've arrived, hit the stop, and then I looked out to the audience and realized, well, to the orchestra, and realized that, hold on, I actually haven't reached the end yet. Mm-hmm. And just being assisted and supported like that, and having everyone who was working with me, you know, help me essentially finish. Because without the guys who then said, hold on, it's not done, you know, the symbols, mm-hmm. He looked at me when I made contact with him, and he was like, continue, and I was like, oh crap. So then I continued, and I think the bigger lesson from that as well was afterwards when I stopped, and then Richard said, let's do it again, because you know, often in work we make mistakes and we have to do things again, and it's, you know, being able to pick yourself up after your mistake.
Oh, so absolutely.
That was a hell of a lesson, yeah.
Yes, yes.
And a very public one, too.
I know, for all of us it was. For me, it was the fact that my name was called first. I thought, what? Going first? I have to break the proverbial ice? But yes, we survived a deep breath. So, Richard, the orchestra, the various members, because they also talked about the kind of confidence they need to have in the conductor. And the conductor has to have confidence that his charges will follow the lead. So it's a very delicate balance that one has to strike.
It is a very delicate balance, and it's a balance of confidence, and also a balance of trust that the people, the person conducting, can trust the people that he's working with, and vice versa, that the people in the orchestra can trust the conductor to give them clear instructions and actually just to let them get on with their job. This is very important also, that sometimes you hand power over to the orchestra, sometimes you have more power in your control as the conductor. It's very much a two-way street. And I think that also came out partly in that on last Friday. It's actually a very interesting power relationship between the players, because they can sabotage the conductor big time if they want to. But they don't want to, because they don't want to look stupid, and the conductor doesn't want to look stupid. So it's a very interesting power relationship.
Yes, they can punish you just enough. enough for it not to be complete shambles.
You're pushing the edges, you know, of what's possible and what's not possible.
Yes, and we heard about the cock stare when you're not getting what you want out of them. There's a look you give evidently, Richard.
The death stare.
Yes. So, Nomfundo, you know, When you're in a position of authority, it's also very important, or it's easy for you to let your ego kind of get in the way, or your ego to subvert other people's contributions. So what is the lesson for you out of that, out of this experience when it comes to the ego?
So I think that, you know, the people that you work with are very smart, and they see through these things. I think if there's ego involved or a lack of authenticity, people feel that. I was amazed when the orchestra kind of played that back to us as conductors, to say even the energy that you bring into the room makes a huge difference.
Yes.
And, you know, you might think that you kind of have one up on them in terms of what you're thinking and what you're feeling. But you almost lay yourself bare, I think, when you're in a leadership position. Hmm. You may not realize it, but human beings actually do see through that energy, and they feel it. And therefore, I think there's very little space for that, for ego, because I think it gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can achieve so much in organizations as we can in an orchestra scenario of a couple of minutes. And often I think the blockages and the barriers that we often don't understand why is this team that's made up of amazing people.
Yeah.
In fact, it probably gets worse when you have experts in the room, as we had in the orchestra, because each and every person knows their craft. They know their art. And if you're not able to transcend through that, through the egos,
yes,
unfortunately, I think you'll achieve very limited results.
Absolutely.
As we saw on Friday.
You were complimented for being very consistent, because your song, The Greatest Love of All, had to be played at a particular pace, and you kept that pace right through. I can still see you in my mind's eye swaying to that movement, swaying to the beat. And why did you choose that song?
Firstly, I'm grateful that we got to choose our own songs, because I think the outcome may have been very different if that wasn't the case.
Mm.
So I chose Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston, because it's just a song that for me is timeless.
Yeah.
It seems as if it's just always been there, sung by a great musician. Probably the greatest of all time,
one of the greatest. Absolutely.
And so it's just a song that I thought, I imagined playing it with an orchestra.
Mm.
And
you got
really
to do
the
it.
Outcome was exactly that and more. In fact, it was even better. And so I was grateful. Listen, I had a good coach and a leader in Richard, which again is another leadership lesson.
Absolutely.
That I got out of it, you know, so to say, how do you take somebody who is not a specialist in a certain area and you take them on stage within a couple of weeks and a few engagements, and the magic happens.
Absolutely. Richard, we also had Ashraf, who is the new coming head of Barca. Ashraf chose Queen of the Night. And there was also a great lesson in giving people a solo moment, letting members of our team shine and be in the spotlight. And that's not always easy, not just for other members in the team, but for the leader themselves.
Yes, this is true, because, of course, there are always leaders sort of pushing from below, because they also want to be leaders and they want to be where you are. And it's also a moment to be humble and to realize that there are these potential leaders all around you in the orchestra. And the point that was made there was also that when one of the people in the orchestra has a good solo, it gives everyone else confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to encourage people to take a leadership role from within the orchestra, because it gives confidence to everyone else. They all are inspired by that, and they all think, gosh, there's an opportunity for all of us to take this leadership role on ourselves as well. But within the group, you don't have to dominate everyone. You just have to set an example of what you can do so that others can follow afterwards.
Yes. I want to thank all of you for being part of my experience, and that I could be part of your experience. And Richard, thank you for the opportunity you afforded all of us.
It was a great pleasure, and it was really illuminating to have all of you talk about your experience also. That was very special. So thank you all for doing that.
Thank you, Richard. That was Richard Koch, renowned conductor and director of the Johannesburg International Mozart Festival. We'll have Richard in studio again to talk especially about the kind of funding, the kind of support that our orchestras require. Michelle, thank you, and I hope you're not bringing in aircrafts today, that you're safely in the office.
No, I'm not safely in the office. I'm actually out in Richards Bay visiting one of our art stations. So,
and hopefully it's
I'll be flying out later on today back into Johannesburg.
And hopefully it's a smooth one. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Zanya. Have a great day.
You too. Michelle Green-Thompson, Strategic Market Customer Relations Officer at SA Airlink. Thank you, Nomfundo. Coming in from across the road at RMB, it was a pleasure.
Thank you, Zanya.